Talk Show. Recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor Dan. And today is the 28th day of May, year 2017, and we've entitled today's program, Truth, a Lonely Warrior. This will be based on the book by a very similar title, Truth is a Lonely Warrior by Mr. James Perloff, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Before we get into the meat of the matter, I've got a few quotes for you. Also, I want the listeners to understand so that you might text people as they come on. They will be automatically muted until such time I see them pop up on the screen and I can unmute them. So if you would, just pass that on and tell them to be patient. Thomas Jefferson told us that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. This is going to be critical in today's discussion, ladies and gentlemen, so please remember that. Thomas Jefferson, probably one of the greatest men that ever lived in America, and known as the Populist. In fact, he wrote a very good book about that. If you've ever had a chance, you should read it. Can't remember the exact title, but something to do with populism, but Thomas Jefferson wrote it. And it's an excellent book. Thomas Paine followed that up with, "The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear." This is critical now, in the fear of resistance. Again, as we get into this topic of truth, a lonely warrior, these two quotes that we say quite often are going to become much more clear to you of why they are critical. The murdered rancher out west, simply trying to uphold his constitutional rights by elements of this rogue government, said that no matter how it ends, it matters how you stand. And it's so true. And there are many other different ways of saying the same thing, but even the scriptures talk about that. You cannot change the end, folks. As one lady said here recently, I got news for you. None of us are going to come out of this thing alive. No, we're not. From the time you're born, the end is already set in stone. We just don't know when or how, but it is going to come to an end. What matters is what did you do with your time, whatever amount of time that is. It doesn't matter if it's long or short. What did you do with it? When you stand before Father, that's the accounting. That's going to be the question. What did you do with the gift I gave you? Life is a gift from on high, folks. What did you do with it? Work all those 7 days a week, 12 hours a day to make money so you could buy more toys? Is that what you'll tell Father Yahweh? I spent it in the pursuit of entertainment and sports. I can tell you every sports figure. I can tell you their stats. I can tell you their birthday. I made every home game of such and such team. Is that what you tell Father? You better think about it, folks. I know the world wants you to believe that this is all by accident. There is no judgment day. There is no Father that we answer to, but they are lying to you constantly, especially in this day and age. Remember, there would be a famine for the truth, and it's so true. George Washington said that when a government, any government, attempts to take away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes the citizen's duty. Again, here we have that word duty. Look it up. Look up the meaning of that word, please, especially in the older dictionaries. Back when this was written, what did duty mean? It becomes the citizen's duty to take away government's right to govern. Actually, it should say government's privilege to govern. Government has no rights. None. Let that sink through your thick heads, people. Government is a fiction. Government is a construct. It has no rights. Now, as it bears on today's topic, when this nation was formed, and the Constitution was written, there was a time when George Washington was approached and asked if he would be our king. How many people remember that? It was George Washington himself who said, "No, I will preside." Therefore, we call them presidents, based on the same word, presiding, presidents, get it? He said, "I will preside over this government. I will not be the king." But the people wanted a king again. That's going to get into the topic of not only what I have to discuss, but also James Perloff in his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, Unmasking the Forces Behind Global Destruction. He goes into a section on the destruction of nations and why our enemy was so headstrong, shall we say, about destroying the Christian monarchies. All right? Why were the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, which is where you'll first read this, but also in their other writings, the Jews made it very clear that they had to destroy the Christian monarchies. The only negative to Mr. Perloff's book that I have is the fact he doesn't call out the Jews as Jews. He uses the typical terms neocon, cabal, central bankers, international bankers. I mean, they got a whole host of names that people would rather use rather than call them what they are. As Christ himself said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." Now, he didn't say our father, did he? Did Christ say of our father? Was Christ lumping himself in with the Jews? Absolutely not. That's one of the greatest lies of the 21st century, is that Jesus Christ was a Jew. No, he wasn't. He was a Judahite, quite different, but the devil is in the details, isn't it? Judahite versus Jew. To the average person who doesn't think a whole lot and doesn't pay much attention to details, that little difference might escape you. But for those of us that do pay attention to details, we understand that it is gigantic, the schism between Christ and his disciples. In fact, in the Thayer's Greek Lexicon on my shelf, it goes into a lengthy discussion of how John and the apostles and Christ himself, how they felt about themselves and the, shall we say, masses in Judea at the time, that they were completely opposite of each other, that they had nothing in common. In fact, in the Apostle John's writings, and this is right out of the Thayer's Greek New Lexicon, that John ascribes in the Greek terms for the Jews that would have you to believe that they sprang from an alien race. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like basic Christian identity 101, Genesis 3, verse 15, the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, enmity between the two, forever. This war will never end, folks. That's the critical point we're trying to make here. And yes, truth is a lonely warrior, and so you who follow truth are lonely warriors as well. We are not the majority that walk this earth. We are a small remnant, as it says in the New Testament. We are a tiny flock. Why? Because we think. In fact, maybe at this point I will read a letter that was sent to me from Sweden. "Hello, Pastor Dan. I want to thank you for your great work and very interesting and educational show. It helps to fill my spirit with life. Thank you. Who am I then? My name is Michael, and I'm 33. Working as an engineer in the construction business in Stockholm, Sweden. I have always wanted to know the truth, but I have not always known who has led me. But now I know it is Yahweh that has always guided me forward and is still guiding me. When I heard your show with Phil on May the 24th of this year, it was really good and it hit me because I saw the similarity in my own life. For example, my ex-girlfriend's family did not like me because I never accepted the media or official story. I always ended up sitting in the middle of the room and arguing against all the other family members about banking, refugees, or invasion forces, as I call them. And so simple, to see. Her mother would say to me, "Michael, why do you not believe as everybody else?" That was her biggest problem with me. I was not as or like everybody else, and I used my brain. I could think. Probably that is why my ex-girlfriend left me, but that was Yahweh's work, and it can only be better. But it's true, the greatest enemy we have is our own people that cannot humble themselves and start to understand that they have been fooled. I hope my contribution helps you, and if you need any more help, any more kind of help that I can do from here in Sweden, let me know. Yahweh bless, Michael. I wanted to share that with you because, as we have said many times on this program, that this outreach is for our scattered sheep, the salt of the earth, because like salt, folks, you are little grains all over the, let's say, a steak. You got a nice big 12-ounce steak, and you sprinkle your salt. Well, you don't put it in one clump in the middle of the steak, do you? You sprinkle it to where the grains of salt cover the whole steak. And so influence or flavor the meat. He uses that analogy for you and I because we are the same thing. We are like the salt. We are little granules, but we have great influence. Why? Because we represent the truth, folks. We're the only truth. Think about this now for a second. You are the only truth in a world full of lies. Think about that hard. You are the only source of rational thought left on earth, especially in this day and age when I don't know how you folks watch television. I turned mine off many months ago, and I'm so glad I did. But I every now and then will go into somebody else's house where a television is playing, and it is mind-numbing how ridiculous, how imbecilic, how lewd and crude programming has become. Now, we've talked about the fact that the Bible speaks of the image of the beast, and modern-day Christianity, which is churchianity, it's a business. It's not. It has nothing to do with the truth, okay, first of all. Churchianity has nothing to do with the truth. It's got everything to do with making money and running a business. Now, they would have you believe that the image of the beast will be some point in the future where this world government, the Antichrist, is going to make you bow down in front of a statue. That's ridiculous. What you're bowing down to is on the flat screen of your televisions, your smartphones, and your computers. There's the image owned by or controlled by the beast. That's what the word of means in this context. Remember, so many words in the English have different meanings depending on context. Many of the Hebrew and Greek words were the same way. You have to take them and figure out what context was it talking about, what fits, what makes sense. What does the Bible tell us in Thessalonians? To keep everything or to accept everything and keep that which is good. In other words, in the Greek, what is good is what fits in with Yahweh's purpose, what fits in with the rest of Scripture. So an image, a statue that we're being forced to, no, that's ridiculous. Those days are long past. The Antichrist that walks amongst us and his minions, as John said, even in his day, there are many Antichrists already here. So we've had the Antichrist walking amongst us in Jewish shoe leather for a long, long time. And we were told to seek the truth, and our enemy is constantly attempting to dissuade us from the truth. So we're in a constant war. This is a war. And you're being told lies upon lie upon lie upon lie, okay? And as Michael said in his letter, and the scripture also verifies that members of our own household, meaning our own race, that's our family, our race, the white race, Adam kind, our worst enemies will come from our own household. That's what they're talking about. And sometimes, literally, it'll be in your own house, such as your mother, your sister, your brother, whatever. But it also is talking about our people as a race. So who are the greatest adversaries to those of us who know the truth and attempt to straighten this mess out? who are the greatest adversaries? Well, I don't know about you folks, but in my walk, which is now almost 64 years, in my walk, my greatest adversaries to this truth have been other whites. I've never had a brown, black, or yellow, or Jew attempt to stop me or to convince me I was wrong. Almost never. There were a few conversations here and there, but very, very, very few. The greatest obstacle is members of my own family or my own race. And I'm sure it is for you as well. But like Michael, we disciple with one another. That's what this program is all about, discipleship. Discipleship means to edify, lift up, strengthen, and network with our own kind. Scripture tells us very clear, and Christ himself said that we would never be the majority. In fact, it's very clear that his second coming is at a time when all flesh potentially would perish. Now, what flesh is he talking about? Well, it actually doesn't really matter because all flesh is in danger today. It's not just the white race. These children of Satan are hell-bent on destroying virtually all of this earth, including the other races, so that there's only a minor element left that they can easily control while they sit in their mansions and enslave mankind. That's their goal. They've written about it. It's pretty plain to see that that's what the end game is, all right? That's why we have the vaccines. Why are they pushing the vaccines? Because it's a way to poison you. You have no idea what's in that serum that they're squirting into your arm. You're told this and that, but the truth be known, you have no idea. The anti-vaccine movement is growing by leaps and bounds because people are beginning to figure this thing out. In fact, the awakening as a whole is growing very, very rapidly. That is why the beast, what does it say in Scripture? Oh, that's right. Just before the end, the beast's anger would become great. His wrath would become great because he knows his time is short. The Jews are in a full-scale panic right now. That's why they're pushing desperately to murder every leak and every source of truth out of Washington and every other capital in every country. If they cannot bribe you and intimidate you, they will simply kill you. Seth Rich is the latest debacle being exposed here in the United States. Was he murdered? Absolutely. Just as they're beginning to figure out and talk in general circles about the fact that General George S. Patton was murdered in France by elements of the U.S. government and others, because he was very outspoken about the fact we fought the wrong enemy in World War II. General George S. Patton, a four-star general. Four-star general, folks. You can't get any higher than that. The five-star general is only in times of war, and he is the general over all generals. Only one five-star general. And the piece of dirt, Eisenhower, was made that because he was a Jew, and the Jews run the show. If you haven't figured that out, you need to go tune in somewhere else. You need to get your books. You need to go back to school. You need to do some real serious studying if you haven't figured it out at this time. But the good news is a lot of the world is waking up to the Jew. As Ronnie Waters says here on the screen, Ike the Kike. Yes, he was. Even in his yearbook, he was named at the Academy the Terrible Swedish Jew. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the Terrible Swedish Jew. So a lot of people say, you know, Obama was our first Jewish president or black. He was neither. He's not the first Jew. We've had plenty of Jews. Truman was a Jew. Roosevelt was a Jew. Rosenfeld. That's why he helped his Jewish bankers with his administration so much. So did Truman. Harry Solomon Truman. Oh, yeah, Solomon. So we've had plenty of Jews that make it to the top. And that's easy to do when you own the media, you own the banks, and you control now the voting machines since they've become digital. It's not hard to pull it off, folks. So we have this gigantic lie in front of us. Gigantic. virtually everything coming across any mainstream outlet is 100% false. You have a false world that has been built around you completely. And you worship the beast. You got to understand what the word worship means. It means whatever you give your allegiance to, whatever you fear, that is your God. You see how that works, people? What you revere, which means what you fear and give your allegiance to. And today, what is it that the majority of the people walking on this earth, what is it that they fear and revere or give their allegiance to? The little g God government. Government of men, not the government of God. And that's why I enjoyed in James Perloff's book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, the section I'm reading now that talks about the destruction of nations. Now remember, the word nation comes from the same Latin roots that have to do with race, such as in natal and nativity. Nation means, and this is in your dictionaries if you find an older one that has not been expunged of the true definitions back when all of these sayings were made and the laws were written. Remember, that's why even back as far as the Magna Carta in England, around 1300 AD, it is the intent of a law that matters, not the wording. Now, that shows you how wise those men were, weren't they? The intent of a law means more than the wording. But what are the lying silver tongues of the devils talk about today? They argue, the Jews in the courtrooms, etc., and in government, they argue about the wording. Why? Because you can twist words. That's why the wise Anglo-Saxon law was always the meaning is important, not the words. The meaning. And the same thing goes for this word nation. They would have you believe it's borders and countries and the governments, the man-made governments, make up the nation. That's a lie. Nation is race. Even in your dictionaries, it should say, if it's a proper dictionary, like my exhaustive Webster's on the shelf here, it's a geographical area occupied people who share the following in common: race, language, culture, history, faith. You understand that? If you don't have all of those things in common, you are not a nation any longer. And now you know why the Jew, who has permeated this society like a virus in a body, they have worked away and whittled away through gradualism. The Bible calls that the leavening process of the Pharisees. They have used gradualism to eat away at our foundations that supported every one of those criteria for making a nation. Why is that? Because the Jew is a nation destroyer. Again, James Perloff in his book identifies this procedure. The only thing is he does not identify the Jew. He identifies them by the titles they go by, the cabal, neocons, etc., but he doesn't come out and say the Jew. That's where we rely on the Bible and the words of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos in the Greek. And why was he called Jesus Christos or Yeshua HaMashiach? Yeshua, because lots of people had the name Joshua, and that is what the closest rendering in English is to his proper name, is Joshua. So there were lots of Joshuas walking around. That's why they added HaMashiach, the Messiah, the anointed one. So he was Joshua, the anointed Joshua, the one who carried Yahweh's anointing. Aren't very many of those, are there? The anointed one. In fact, I had a Greek gentleman tell me that in the Greek language, Christos, remember, Jesus Christos, the Greek word has the connotation that the object spoken of has a glow, an actual glow, a Shekinah glory around him. So it's not only is he anointed, but his anointing is obvious to the eyes as well as the ears. Does that make sense now, folks? That's why Pontius Pilate, when he wrote to Caesar about this man called the Christ, he said he stands head and shoulders above the rest of the population. Wherever he goes, he commands authority. He commands respect. When first meeting Jesus, the anointed, Yeshua, Pontius Pilate stood, his feet fixed. He could not move. He could not speak. This is a man who commanded life and death on the people of Judea. He was that powerful as a Roman procurator, can't think of the word now, basically the protectorate or the head magistrate. He had that kind of power, and yet when this humble man stood before him, Pontius Pilate could not even move his feet. Can you imagine what it was like to stand in the presence of Messiah? Can you imagine the angst amongst the Jews? Just picture it today. A man with that kind of power standing in Washington, D.C. amongst the criminal Jews, walking into the Federal Reserve commanded by the criminal Jews, and how they would panic because this man is incorruptible. Their gold, their silver mean nothing. Their threats mean nothing. Their torture means nothing. Their murder means nothing. He was beyond reproach. He was beyond their bribing, their cajoling. They were terrified of Christ, and that's why they set about to have him murdered. Yeshua knew that, of course. That's why he said when Judas supped with them at the dinner table, he says, "A devil eats with us here at this table." That was Judas Iscariot, a man from Cariot. Iscariot's not a name, it's a description. Judas, the Jew, Iscariot, a man of Cariot, a suburb of Jerusalem where the Jews lived. And Judas was indeed a devil, an adversary of all that is good, right, and true. They have always been, meaning the Jews, have always been adversaries of what is true and right. Always. Look at this world today as Jews have risen to prominence in banking and government, in the media, in the publishing houses, and on, and in medicine. Has the world gotten better, folks? Come on, shake the dust off of that brain. Let those synapses start working again. I know it's difficult because you've got so much fluoride and chlorine and the vaccines, poisons from chemtrails. I know it's difficult. That's why they do it. That's why they put all these poisons out there. That's why the Jews themselves have organics brought into their homes from elsewhere. Their water is purified because they know. Now, the lower-level Jews, of course, don't. The higher-level Jews don't care about them. They'll kill their own, just like Seth Rich. Seth Rich was a Jew, and he was murdered by other Jews because he was daring to leak the truth. So put your synapses together. Let yourself think about this situation and just ask yourself, as I said, is the world a better place today? No, the answer obviously is not. When you compare it to the way our Heavenly Father intended the world to be. No. Okay? So, if it's not better, since the Jews have risen to power, if it's not better, then something has gone terribly wrong, hasn't it? That's all the further you need to analyze this thing, folks. You know, the world is out there trying to fill our heads full of garbage that, oh, this PhD says that, or this research group, or this group, this think tank over here says that, when really, we should just turn our back on all of that. Bodies of lying men mean nothing. They're all bought and paid for. Every one of these talking heads on television, every one of these morons in Washington, D.C., and London, and in Paris, they're all bought and paid for whores. Their words mean nothing. Why does Father say go to that quiet place when you want to talk to him and listen to the Holy Spirit? Because of the noise of this world interferes with Father talking to us. You need to walk away. You need to go somewhere and shut the doors, shut the blinds on the windows, and just focus within. When you reach out from the heart to our Father, He is not going to forsake you, folks. And I know a lot of our people think, well, I've done so many bad things. Yeah, well, join the crowd. What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Absolutely nothing. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them away, that your robes might be what? White as snow. Can you think of a greater gift from our Heavenly Father than Him coming to this earth and putting on flesh to walk amongst us, to show us by example the way you and I should be living our lives? He said, I came here as an example, did He not? How many of us follow that example? Pitifully few today, pitifully few. And that's why we're in this trouble that we're in. And that is why truth is a lonely warrior, because our people have become complacent. They've become lazy. They have allowed themselves to be brainwashed. They have allowed themselves to be bought and paid for like a whore. And so they do the bidding of the Jew. And people are getting exasperated with Trump and his administration because of all the promises made, but nothing is happening. The criminals are still at large. I still don't see anybody being put on trial for Randy Weaver's family being murdered. I don't see anybody being put on trial for the murders at Waco. Nobody's being put on trial for the murders at Oklahoma City. Nobody is being put on trial for the murders at the Twin Towers in Washington and at the Pentagon, where Israelis orchestrated with rogue elements of our government, which is run by Jews as well. So when you say Israelis, it really doesn't matter if you're talking about that bastard nation called It's a Lie, or you're talking about Tel Aviv West, which is Washington, D.C. It's both areas are run by the same criminal Antichrist Jews. So when you say the Jews, and then people interject that, oh, well, wait a minute, Dan, there were rogue elements of the United States government. Well, what's the difference? These whores in Washington, D.C. don't do anything without permission from their master Jews. All right? So if you think that cabal, that grouping of whores in Washington is going to fix a single problem in this country, you are dumber than a box of rocks. If in France they think that Jew that was elected there is going to fix your problems, you are dumber than a box of rocks. You in England, who have allowed the Muslims to come in, and now your capital city, London, has more Muslims than it does white British, you are dumber than a box of rocks. If you think these aliens are going to fix our problems, you don't seem to understand. You have violated God's law by allowing the alien to have power in your lands, your nations. The books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus make it painfully clear. You are never, ever to allow the racial alien to have power, ever. Now people say, well, Dan, that sounds cruel. Well, I don't care if you think it sounds cruel or not. It's a fact. No nation that has any sense, any brain power still operating within their noggins, would do that. Go to Israel as a white Christian and see how long you last in the Knesset, which is their governing body over there. See how far you get when you run to be a member of the Knesset in It's a Lie, Jew-run It's a Lie. They'd laugh you out of the country, wouldn't they? Try to go to some black African nation as a white Christian and see how far you get. Try to go to China as a white Christian and see how far you get. You get my point, folks? Even in this day and age, there's plenty of people still operating under the commonsensical manner of my nation is my race and my race runs my nation. You don't run it. Even the Bible expounds on that principle. And yet, white people today are dumber than dirt. They've bought into the Jewish lie because it is a Jewish lie. You look at every single person who has promoted this garbage and you'll find Jewish faces and Jewish names attached to it. Now people say, Dan, why? Why are you picking on the Jews? You know, they're the victims in this world. Really? Let's see. All of the extremely wealthy, and I mean obscenely wealthy people in this world, most of them are Jews. Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Kuhn Loeb, Schiff, you name it. Warburg, all Jews. You look at Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles worked for the Jewish law firms in Washington, D.C., and when they were in our government, they did everything they could to empower their fellow Jews. Despicable. Their names should be scratched out of every monument and out every document in this country as traitors to white America. In fact, we've had nothing but traitors to white America in Washington for quite some time. Unfortunately, even in our military, the good admirals, the good generals have been weeded out, and now we have the ass kissers left. And if that offends you, that language, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. They are consummate ass kissers. They're not real generals. Eisenhower wasn't a real general. Wesley Clark wasn't a real general. The Mamzer wasn't a real general. The half-breed black that was in there that could speak Yiddish? Now, how many half-breed blacks do you know that speak Yiddish? Colin Powell? How about that? Half black and he can speak Yiddish. He speaks his master's own tongue. Therefore, he got the job. Was he a good general? Hell no. We haven't had good generals in there since the days of MacArthur and General Patton that they had murdered. Isn't it great how it works? If you're trying to do good, they just simply murder you. If they can't destroy your career or they can't buy you off, then they just simply murder you. That's what they do. Now our government operates that way overseas. We wonder why the world hates us. And the world does hate us, folks. It's not just the Middle East. As we're finding out with the Eurasian countries that are now forming a new monetary system to go around our Jew-controlled Fed, they hate us. Not the average white Christian American, the few that are left, because most of them aren't even Christian anymore, and a lot of them aren't even white anymore. We've fallen into race mixing, which is another abomination to our Heavenly Father. We have violated his law from top to bottom. And why is that? Because there's so little truth. Nobody's telling the truth. They go to church, they hear the feel-good message, which is a syrupy, sick, sweet message coming from that pulpit. And they look at their neighbors and they look at all the race-mixed couple and that preacher, that prostitute, that whore behind the pulpit. He just says, oh, God loves everybody. And yeah, come on down here, you little black boy and that little white girl. Oh, God just loves you and them little mamsers you're going to make. Oh, he just thinks they're just so cute. Can you just hear that in the Sunday school and in the church? Nothing further from the truth. We speak the truth because that's our job. As General Stonewall Jackson said, that our duty is to do the right thing. The consequences belong to our Heavenly Father. In other words, put it out of your mind. Consequences you're never to worry about. You're to worry about doing the right thing. How many people do that? If we had white people that worried more about doing the right thing instead of consequences, do you think we'd be in the trouble? No, we wouldn't. Southern Stormer says here, Nathan Bedford Forrest, hallelujah, Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, Rommel, Patton, all great generals. Hallelujah, you're right. You're right. There's been many white men who have been tremendous generals. The best of generals are always the white men. Nathan Bedford Forrest was Robert E. Lee's second in command. And when the Ku Klux Klan was formed to protect Southerners from the rampages of the carpetbagging Jews and the blacks that were turned loose on Southerners and their killing sprees were going on, that's why the KKK was formed. They don't tell you that, of course. But if you do any kind of research, you'll figure it out. General Nathan Bedford Forrest was given command over the Ku Klux Klan because Robert E. Lee said, I lost the war, and therefore it would be not proper for me to lead such a righteous organization. You see, there's a reason there's a cross on the Ku Klux Klan's uniforms. It's because they were Christians. There's a drop of blood on that cross because it's the blood of Christ. See, that's the part they don't tell you. But you know, if you're going to sit and watch the image of the beast every day and the lies that the Jews put forth over it, shame on you. If you don't have enough integrity that you're going to search out the truth, again, shame on you. You know, way back in the book of Job, Satan was given permission to deceive us. He was not given permission to literally harm us. Couldn't do that. And the Jew today typically will not do you harm face to face. He'll get somebody else to do it. He'll put money in some other white man's pocket to go out and murder. He'll put money in soldiers' pockets to go over and murder other nations, such as Libya and Serbia. Okay, so white men will do that. They'll do the Jew's bidding because he puts shekels in their pocket. But the Jew himself typically won't do it. In fact, the Jews are terrible, absolutely terrible soldiers. Terrible. And I've heard that from special forces and rangers, etc., that have been stationed over in Itzalai, where they've been in some kind of combat situation with these people. They're the worst because they're scum. First of all, there's no morality to these people. There's no redeeming quality to a Jew at all. That's just the facts. Christ pointed it out, and they hated him for it and had him murdered. And they've been murdering white Christians ever since because a true Christian speaks the truth. And if that's the truth, then you speak it. The Jew is our arch enemy. That's it. Case closed. All of this rhetoric, all of these speeches, all of this brainstorming that people are doing, trying to figure out why is the world so crazy? Why are these things happening? Well, it's pretty simple. Go read that book that's on your bookshelf, the one with the most dust on it. Yeah, that's it, the Bible. Right next to the other book that has almost as much dust on it, the dictionary and the encyclopedia. Because our people don't think, our people don't read, our people don't question. They're good little sheep. The Jew puts it out across the image of the beast, and the sheep just bay and go along with it. That's what's happening. But the fact of the matter is that the Jews are the root of the problem. And that's easy to figure out because Scripture says the root of all evil is the love of money. And there is no person walking this earth who loves money more than Jews. And they will commit any act of evil to maintain their position and their death grip on the international banking cartel. That's the facts, people. Whether you like hearing them or not, that's the facts. And so what is the solution, folks? We talk a lot about the problem, but what is the solution? Well, first of all, you have to educate yourself. You've got to pull yourself away from that image of the beast and educate yourself. You have to understand the Jew and how he operates. The Jews can't stand that because they operate in the dark, behind closed doors, in secrecy, just like the bankers that got together at Jekyll Island, and out of that came the IRS and the Federal Reserve. And Mr. Perloff talks about all that in his book. This is an excellent book, by the way. If you haven't got a copy, I'd put this right up there along with None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen. This book by James Perloff, I would put it right up there with that. He goes into many different issues. And if you know the code words for Jews, he's outing the Jews left and right, whether he actually says the word or not. When he gives you the name of the perpetrators and their occupations and their code words, you can pretty well tell it's the Jews. So what is the solution, ladies and gentlemen? What is the solution to all of this mayhem? All we have to do is go to the book of Obadiah at verse 18, and there is your solution. What does Obadiah say? That we, the Israelite people, will become a flame and a fire. Now, what is fire in Scripture? Judgment, judgment, burning judgment, on fire with passion for truth and righteousness and justice. And that will naturally destroy the Jew. Because if you kill the murderers in this world, as God commands, there are not too many Jews going to be left. If you kill the rapists, that's going to take out another large chunk. If you kill the homosexuals, as you're commanded to do, well, the Jews are behind that one big time. If you kill the usurer, as the book commands, that definitely is going to take out a lot of Jews. So, good Christian, all you have to do is obey your God rather than the little g God, and the problem's solved. You start obeying the rules in the book, the Jews lose their power instantly. Nowhere in that book does it say to do what you're doing because somebody put shekels in your pocket. Nowhere in the book does it say that. In fact, it condemns that. It says you do the right thing. Truth, justice, those are enemies of the Jews. Now, Obadiah, at verse 18, says that in the words of Yahweh himself, that at some point Jacob Israel will become a flame and a fire, and Edom Esau, who is the Jews, by the way, and the white traders, throw them in there with it. They will be consumed as stubble. For you people that didn't grow up on a farm, after you bale hay in the hay field, what's left in the hay field is called stubble. It's the stuff that the cutter bar and the baler didn't pick up off the hay field. I know because I've walked many pasture fields after we baled the hay. So that analogy is very easy for me to see. In fact, we used to go through the hay field a day or two after all the men had baled all the hay when I was a little boy, and we used to set the little bunches of stubble on fire. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Little Israelite boys, we were out there, me and my cousins, and we'd go through that hay field and we'd see a clump of stubble here and there, and we would flick matches at it until it would catch on fire. There's our little symbology of Obadiah 18 in my own life. The stubble, the Jews, their lies, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, the Talmud that they worship, the rabblings of their rabbis that they consider more valuable than the God of heaven and earth. All of it is stubble. Our job is to burn it up, people. It can't get any simpler than that. Get it? They and everything they represent is stubble. And it doesn't matter. You got these people that say, well, I know there's a good Jew here and a good Jew there. Well, you know, there are some people who call themselves Jews. They're actually white people. They think it's fashionable. That's why Yahweh said for us not to root up the tares. Because to you and I, somebody calling himself a Jew, we would just say, well, then he's a Jew. He should be destroyed. Well, Yahweh said that's, you know, I know people like that. I know white people like that. They call themselves Jews. They think it's fashionable because they're ignorant. Yahweh says it's the DNA of the stubble that needs to be burned up, not just misguided white people. Now, if that misguided white person who calls himself a Jew is doing the work of a Jew, he has become a Jew. We're not supposed to administer God's law with any kind of prejudice, either for or against people. We're to judge them by their deeds, and bad trees cannot produce good fruit. The Jews are bad trees. White people who do the bidding of the Jew for their shekels are bad trees. Simple. There's your solution, folks. When the white race wakes up to the fact that these creatures from hell are trying to destroy us, when they wake up to that fact that we do not have to obey government of men, even in the New Testament, it is Peter that has made the statement that if it's a choice between obeying the laws of man or the laws of God, you must choose Yahweh. It says you must choose Yahweh's law and obedience to him. Okay? The solution is simple, folks. It's not rocket science. The problem is getting our people off their ass to act. Or as the scripture says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. There's the rub. Getting white men to actually work together, we'd rather fight with one another. Getting to go to the battlefield shoulder to shoulder carrying their weapons of war to destroy the enemy who's trying to poison and destroy our children, our race, to exterminate us? That's the difficult part. Destroying the enemy is the easy part. When Israelites finally work together to accomplish anything, that part is easy. We can accomplish anything. There is nothing on this earth we cannot accomplish. The scripture even backs this up. When we are of one accord, that means when we are of one mindset, there is nothing that we can't accomplish. Nothing. This earth can become a paradise once again, as Yahweh intended it, for every creature except the stubble. Every other creature will see paradise on this earth. The new Jerusalem being spoken of is the paradise to come, a new heaven and a new earth that will not have any more stubble in it, because the stubble is burnt up. Now, having grown up on a farm, and what happens to stubble when you put a match to it, it consumes all of it, and it does so very, very quickly. So when the righteous of the white race finally get it through their thick heads that we are not to obey man's law, we are to obey Yahweh's law, things are going to change in a hurry. Now, there's a section in Mr. Perloff's book that I'm reading that talks about, the title of the chapter is in chapter 8, The Destruction of Nations, and he has a subsection called The Forms of Government. Now, ironically, James, in his own way, is reiterating things that I have said on this radio show for a long time. Now, remember the protocols of the learned elders of Zion that we spoke of? Well, in the protocols, it said that one of the goals of the Jews, the stubble, was to destroy the Christian monarchies. And I've asked you, and probably you're not listening, but I've asked you for many years, why would your enemy want to destroy the Christian monarchies? Now, white people, being the dumbasses that they are, they'll sit there and argue with you, oh, I will never live under a monarchy again because monarchies are terrible, terrible. You can have a dictator, you could have a wicked person, blah, 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 blah. And on they go as if they are gods themselves. Where did that start? Oh, that's right, the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Ye can be as gods yourself. You know, Father Yahweh didn't give you the right to interpret. He didn't give you the right to make new law because you think this or that. He did not give you the right to sit in front of that image of the beast and accept the garbage that that Jewish-controlled media is pumping into your thick head. Monarchies are from Yahweh. Let that sink in. James Perloff, in his book, goes into an excellent logical discussion of why the monarchies were the protection of Europe, why the monarchies were to be preserved, and how is Yeshua Messiah coming back as a monarch. The monarchy is a reflection of God's kingdom. A monarch is a member of the race of the nation. A monarch is to be as God himself, a representative of God himself on earth. He is to look after the sheep. He is to protect the sheep. He is what some refer to in the olden times, a guardian of the faith, and a righteous monarch is the greatest defender of our people there ever has been. That's why the Jew set about to destroy, through world wars and propaganda, the righteous Christian monarchy. Now, as James Perloff points out in his book, the monarch is not a dictator. Now, that's what the Jew wants you to think, that somebody promoting monarchy simply wants to be a dictator. That's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. The monarch rules, but he has an aristocracy of noblemen beneath him. Now, again, the Jews have done everything they can through movies and propaganda and all of their garbage that they spew out of their sick, demented mouths, trying to tell you that the noblemen were not righteous, and neither were the monarchs. And yet the monarchs are what led our people for thousands of years. Now, was there a bad monarch from time to time? Sure as hell was. The Parthians, in the books by Stephen Collins, he talks about the kingdom of Parthia, which was Israelites, and they lived by God's law. They had a bad monarch that came to power. The noblemen and the people got together and they deposed him, which is the way it's supposed to work. The noblemen, who are the overseers, the elders, the righteous elders, they watch the monarch, and if the monarch does not do his job properly, he is deposed, meaning he's thrown out of office. And then another monarch is elected by the noblemen. And that's what happened in ancient Parthia. When a wicked king had come up, he was deposed and he fled. His brother, his blood brother, was elected to be the righteous king. And his first act as the new king of Parthia was to hunt down his wicked brother and have him executed. Does Yahweh say we put blood above righteousness? No. In fact, Yahweh makes it quite clear that you are to hold nothing on this earth above him. And his law is part of him. You see that? So our allegiance to our Father and his law is above all things on this earth, including money, power, property, careers, and family. That's just the way it is. It might be difficult at times, but if you obey Father, in the end, it's a wonderful thing. You know, I'd also point to some nations that have proved many of these concepts that we're talking about. You know, people say we need the Federal Reserve and we need the Jewish banking system. Do we really? Go to Ithaca, New York, and tell those folks that, who have had their own local currency for over 20 years. And they're not the only town, but they were one of the very first to do it and prove that it works. So little Ithaca, New York, the little town of Ithaca, in the middle of Jew-controlled New York, has been able to operate for over 20 years with their Ithaca hours, and it works like clockwork. Proven. You see, a small group. Do you see how that tiny group, remember he called us salt? And we're always sitting here belly aching that we're not the majority. You don't have to be the majority. You just have to lump together and work on something, folks. We have solutions. Our problem is getting y'all to work together. That's our problem. It's not the enemy. The enemy can't stop us. When we come together of one mindset, they can't stop us. Ithaca has been operating in New York for over 20 years. Now, do the Jews like it? No. Of course they don't. Do they make sure that their major media networks never tell the rest of America about how great Ithaca hours work? Of course not. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to do everything to make you think that it's not a good system. But is that the truth? No, it's not. So little tiny Ithaca, New York, and the other communities across the United States have proven them to be liars. And that we have solutions. We have lots of solutions, people. The problem is you and your brain. You can't seem to get the Jew propaganda out of your brain. Now, let's take another course. What do we do with these corrupt Jewish bankers and these people of our own race that support these corrupt Jewish bankers? Well, the little nation of Iceland showed us the way, didn't they? Iceland put 79 of the top bankers in that little country, 79, in prison. And you know what the government of Iceland did? They forgave the people the debt because we don't owe the debt. This whole talk of national debt is a construct of the Jew. We don't owe them a damn thing. First of all, that's interest, which is against the Bible. And second of all, it's interest on money that does not exist. Talk about a Ponzi scheme. Talk about a scam. These people are the greatest scam artists on the planet. Or I should say the earth. The greatest scam artists. Unbelievable. Eighth Day Woman says, Luke 19:27. If I remember right, that's the one that says, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Those are the words of Christ. Luke 19:27. That's one of my favorite verses also, because the regular church world, the prostitutes, will never talk much about that. But that's the words of Christ. Bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. And in the Greek, that's exactly what it says. It's not spiritual. It's a fact. The words of Christ. Hallelujah. If they don't want me to rule over them, then bring them here and slay them. Tie that into Obadiah 18. There's your victory, brothers and sisters. Two verses. That's all you need to know. Obadiah 18, Luke 19 and 27. Getting our people to understand it, that's the problem. Getting our people to stop obeying man's law, that's the problem. Getting our people to boycott Itzalai and Jews everywhere, that's the problem. All we have to do is walk away, folks. They don't own us. They don't control us except by bribery, theft, deception, and intimidation. But in reality, Christ beat them all, didn't he? One man, no army, no weapons, didn't even have much of worldly goods that he carried with him, did he? And yet he shook them to the core. He enraged the Jews so much that they orchestrated his murder. And not just his murder, but his torture and then murder. And they're proud of it. To this day, they're proud of it. And that's why they feel justified in murdering you and your family in wars for Jewish money, wars for Jewish agendas, and the traitors of our own race, and the aliens that pretend to be sheep, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing, much as Macron is in France and Merkel is in Germany. They're not of us. They have no right to be in a position of authority. They're aliens. Shame on any white person who listens to those. Shame on any white person anywhere who listens to the alien. Look at this Nikki Haley from South Carolina, a frickin' Indian, and yet she was governor? What's wrong with you people in South Carolina? I know the election could very well have been rigged, and I think most of them are, especially when it comes to people like that. Does she have a right to be in government? No. At any level? No. She doesn't even have a right to be in our country, let alone to be in our government. She can come here on a visa to learn, a visa to come and be educated or to visit somebody in a manufacturing or whatever, but then she has to go home. Nikki Haley's a traitor, much like most politicians today. Traitors, aliens. I owe her nothing. I owe nobody in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, anything because they have broken the law. They are outlaws, the District of Criminals. They're outlaws. Most of the top brass at the Pentagon are outlaws. They don't deserve to hold the positions they have. Your intelligence agencies have been overrun with Jews from the beginning. As I mentioned in the book, The Brothers, about Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles, there's the beginning of your intelligence agencies. And why? Because they were able to use their positions within government and the intelligence agencies to further increase the profits of their Jewish banker buddies. Isn't that sweet? It's all there, folks. It's all there if you take the time to study, if you take the time to look into the matter. If you just want to turn your brain off and allow the image of the beast to fill your head full of their nonsense, you will never awaken. The sad fact of it is we're going to lose a lot of our people because they have simply chosen the way of sloth, the way of laziness, the way of wickedness. They actually relish in this degenerate world that the Jew has created. They relish in it. They think the abortion is great. I just watched a video where somebody had snuck a camera and taped these people, most of them women. Women, if you want to call them that, talking about the murdering and cutting up and butchering of little babies, as if they were hamburger on the counter at the butcher shop. These people have no conscience. They're lower than animals. In the animal kingdom, they care for their young. The only time they don't care for their young is if there's a shortage of food or one of the young is ill. That's the only time a mother in the animal kingdom will abandon her child, her offspring. That's the only time. And people say it's cruel, but really, is it? She's looking out for the healthy ones. She's looking out for the perpetuation of her kind. And though it sounds cruel, it's not cruel. Today, we use modern medicine and modern technologies to keep what God would have destroyed by nature. And we wonder why we've got so much degeneracy and so much illness and things aren't working. Because you've thought you could be gods. You've made yourself gods. The exact promise that the Nakash serpent, Nakash was a man, not a snake. That's retarded. It's not a snake. Nakash is a deceiver. It's a Hebrew term for a deceiver. And the deceiver went, the Jew went to Adam and Eve and said, you can be as God, meaning you can decide what's right and wrong. Folks, sorry. Another one of the great lies that we have lived with for so long. No, you don't have that right. I don't have that right. You don't have that right. Unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. Truth is a lonely warrior. And again, I'm going to remind you that as James Perloff in his book and as I have talked about and a few others, you better give some really serious thought about the monarchy. Because I'm going to tell you something. In every white nation, you're not going to fix your problems without it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? The white race is on its way out. The white nations are on their way out because the Jew has foisted upon us everything that is antichrist. The European Union, antichrist. The United Nations, antichrist. The Jews themselves as a race and a religion, antichrist. Okay? And yet you promote it. You think that we need to follow that, when in fact we do not. Now, we talked about how little nations and groups of people have already shown us the way, but we're just too stupid to pay attention. Ithaca has showed us that we can form our own money. We don't need the Jewish money. In fact, we'd be better off with no Jews around us at all, as Obadiah makes quite clear. The nation of Iceland showed that we don't have to pay this damn debt to them and put the bankers in prison where they belong. Actually, a lot of them need to be executed, to be honest with you, because they've committed murder in order to keep their banking system going. Those should be hung in public. The rest of them can serve out terms of forced labor. There should be no prisons. That's another Jewish construct. It's anti-Christ. It is anti-Father. It is immoral. There should be no prison system. It's just totally ridiculous. All right, so I'm going to put every one of you out of work. If you're a corrections officer, or if you're in a prison running the prisons, you are going to be out of work. We don't need prisons. We just need to obey our Father. For instance, in these bankers, the ones who have committed rape or kidnapping or murder, they will be executed summarily within 24 hours. They're done. I think that's great. Now, the ones that have committed lesser crimes, then according to a jury of their peers or a military tribunal, depending on where we are on the timeline, they will be judged to work off their sentence. If they've embezzled, if they have stolen, then the amount that has been stolen will be repaid to the people by them working for free. They don't get to sit in a prison cell where we have to pay for it. No. They're going to hold a job. They are going to get a paycheck, and then they're going to turn that paycheck minus some living expenses, turn that paycheck over to the treasury of the people. That's the way it works. You want to see things change in a hurry? Just implement God's law. Get rid of these damn prisons. Get rid of these Jews, all right? Because they're the ones who run prison industries. You haven't figured that one out yet? Shame on you. So, where else is a tiny, relatively tiny group of people prove to us that this all works? Let's look at the nation of Spain, Espanol. They have not had a central government in a year, and they're doing just fine. So Iceland proved we don't need the Jewish bankers. Spain has proven we don't need large central government. And Ithaca proved that we can make our own currency and do just fine. There's three examples, and there's more, but we don't have time to talk about them. So you can't sit there and say to yourself, oh, Dan, this is nonsense. You're just a pipe dream. You're just an old fool and blah, blah, blah. Who are you to be telling us you don't have a PhD and you don't have a think tank behind you and you don't have giant Jewish money in your pockets? Well, the good news is I don't need all of those things to tell you the truth. But you have to do something about it. Because Yahweh makes it quite clear that you can go on in your ignorance for a time, but once you have been presented with the truth and you do nothing about it, now you will be judged accordingly. And in this day and age, with all the electronic devices, the truth has never been easier to find. But you got to wade through the lies and the deceptions of the Jewish-controlled media coming across those flat screens, the image of the beast, the image controlled by, owned by, manipulated by the beast. There's your image of the beast, telling you every day to turn your brain off and just obey. You don't have a right to this, or you don't have a right to that. Or we need big government, as the Jew Kissinger stated so long ago. We will give them terror. This was in 1991. We will give them terror so that they will relinquish their rights and beg for world government. Sound familiar, folks? This was 1991. What started in 1992? The murder of Randy Weaver's family, a Christian identity family in Idaho. That was the first warning shot to you teaching the identity message and actually living the identity message. We will kill you. Then the message went to the folks at Waco. Again, believers wanting to be separate. Are you getting the picture, folks? Oklahoma City was picked because, for one thing, there was a judge in there that had to do with the investigation of Waco and Randy Weaver, and many of the court documents and records were kept in that building. Oh, that's beginning to make sense. Much like the gold that was stolen that was being kept in the basement of the buildings in New York on 9/11. Much like the Jew made the announcement that the Department of Defense in the United States had just sort of lost trillions of dollars the day before 9/11. So we soon forgot about that ginormous sum of money that just disappeared. Folks, if you had $1 million, not a billion or a trillion, just $1 million, do you think you would just misplace it somewhere? And we buy this garbage. That's what just absolutely floors me. These demonic creatures get in front of the image of the beast and talk to you and tell you such rubbish as that, and yet they're still alive. Those people should be behind bars waiting for the gallows to be built to hang their ass. That's what should happen. And we're getting close to the end here already. Now, I want to cut this off at 90 minutes because this will be replaying over Eurofolk Radio at 1:30 this afternoon. Now, along with the different things that we've been talking about today as far as solutions, part of the solutions is to form our communities. Not one community in one location, but communities all over. Much as Ithaca works as a community, just as Iceland, the small nation of Iceland, works as a community. Spain is working as a community. They haven't figured out the racial aspect yet, obviously, so they're not all the way there, but they have actually lived through the fact that we don't need large central government. In fact, we would all be better off. In case in point, as James Perloff points out in his book and in other books that I'm reading, if you want to get rid of terrorism and the wanton killing of tens of thousands all the way up to millions of innocent people, if you want to see that end, then we need to end central government, because they are the ones who do these things. Not you and I as individuals. Not you and I living as God intended us to live on this earth. Large, organized, central governments are the terrorists in this world. Now, if you find that hard to believe, you haven't done your homework. You need to go to that prayer closet, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth, all right? And see if Father Yahweh doesn't reveal it to you, as he has done to so many of our people of late. Also, in the United States, the Jews are behind the removal of the monuments and symbols of the Confederacy, because that was a time when Christian Southerners stood together against Northern aggression. which was Jewish controlled even then. Judah P. Benjamin was the treasurer for the Confederacy. That was a big mistake of Jefferson Davis. All right, big mistake on his part. Jews, if you want solutions to your problems, folks, you got to get the Jews out of the equation. That's all there is to it. We got a few minutes left. We got Southern California on the line. Do you have a comment or question?
Yes. Pastor, I was just wondering, as I counted the numbers, 70 is usually the number when you're under bondage. For instance, when we were put in Babylon for 70 years and you go through all that stuff. We have been under bondage now to the Jews since 1948. Okay, it's coming up on 70 years here around 2018 to 2020. So I look at something might be happening around that time because we're close to it. And a lot of things, as you read the scriptures, is happening right before our eyes. The things you're talking about are happening. And I'm sitting here thinking of that 70, so I was wondering if you did any study on that.
No, I just look at the signs of the times and the fact that the book of Revelation, chapter 18, makes it very clear it's going to be an economic collapse when Babylon burns. It's also the merchants that do the weeping and wailing, not you and I, but the merchants. It also says that the kings and princes are the ones in bed with the whore, because they got rich with their delicacies. Well, that's the leaders of our various nations in bed with these criminal Jews. So all those make sense. And the fact that there is a effort being made in this world today to take us to a gold-backed currency worldwide and circumvent the Jew. Well, that all tells me that Revelation's on its way. And the awakening of the white race. The white race is starting to awaken in many of these countries that these Jews are attempting to genocide the white race. And so there's an element within the white race that is rising up. So it's only going to be a bit longer, and the fire and the flame of Obadiah is going to become a reality.
Well, I did. My brother lives in Washington, the state of Washington, and he was talking to me. He's talking about some white guy, that's what we're called, white guys, actually smacked a Muslim upside his head, and it made news in Washington. So it appears like we're getting a little irritated with the Muslims. I know they're getting irritated with them in England and Europe, and I say it's about time. I hear what you're saying all the time. I go, when's it going to happen? Well, it's going to happen here, I guess, pretty soon. So
it's going to happen, Gary, because first of all, the Bible and the prophets told us it was. Plus, anybody with a rational brain understands we cannot continue to survive on this earth the way we're going. Everything we're doing is ass backwards, everything we're doing. And nature herself, even if there wasn't a Heavenly Father, even if there wasn't a Bible, nature herself will not condone the idiocy that we're doing today. We will come to an end. Nature herself will destroy us.
Well, I remember all the years, I had to pay Social Security. I paid this while I was working. So it comes time to where I can draw it. I'm old now. And I like to use the word I'm now mature. And as I go to, use my benefits, they're not there. And I go, where are they? The Mexicans used them all. They come over here, they get free everything. And they don't get free. What's happened is they're stealing our savings that we put aside for us. And our government, who's in charge of it, they're giving it to all these foreigners. I'm sitting there going, why are we doing that? That's stealing. They say all these people want to come over here because they want the American dream. Well, I'll tell you what, the American dream is stealing our money. They have their own land. Why can't they do all this stuff in their own land? This is the land that was given to us. We made a success out of it. Now they want to come over here and steal what we have. Thieves.
Well, Gary, again, this is why I'm telling you, and I know our people have a hard time accepting this, but if we don't embrace the Christian monarchy, we're not going to make it, because we're never going to wake up the majority of the white race. We're never going to bring everybody up to the speed that they need to be education-wise. We will never get a point where white people voluntarily are going to work together. Look in the identity movement, how many of us are constantly putting knives in each other's back. And we even got the message of the Bible correct, and we know about the racial part of it, and we still can't work together. All right? So this notion that we as a people will work as a mob to do the right thing is not going to happen. The only way it's going to happen is when we get behind a monarch, a righteous monarch, and his noblemen, who will be his commanders in the field of the armies, when the righteous monarch and his noblemen are the leaders. Yahweh's already put the leaders here. I got news for you. The leaders who can do this are walking this earth right now. They're waiting for the people to support the leaders. The leaders have the solution. The leaders know what to do. The leaders will get the damn job done. These politicians will never, ever, ever solve our problems. Yahweh wants us to have our leaders, and we go to the field as warriors. We don't ask the other races to behave themselves. We order them to behave themselves. And when we order them to go back to where they came from, they will go, because the alternative will not be very pretty. Well, how you solve the problem. You don't solve the problem with rhetoric. You don't solve the problem with negotiation. There is no negotiation. There's right and there's wrong. And our people will never, ever survive if they don't get back into the idea of having a leader and a group of sub-leaders behind him to watch over him and to be the leaders of our righteous Ezekiel 37 army. There's your solution.
Well, you know, Pastor, as you were talking, I was sitting there thinking, you know, this Donald Trump, you know, we thought he was going to be the guy, and everybody did get behind him and what have you. But, you know, he's got some holes, you know, here and there. So what you're saying is true. We're still looking for a leader. You know, they brought this guy in as an outsider, and he's a this and that. No, he's not.
Gary, the leaders are here. Yahweh's waiting for the people to recognize it. The leaders are here. They're here now.
We're waiting for you to tell us who they are, Pastor.
Well, it's going to become evident very, very soon. It's going to become evident very, very soon. Now, in the case of people like Donald Trump, didn't we say this even before the election? Be careful of false messiahs. The scripture tells us there'll be many who will claim to be the Messiah, which means the anointed or the savior. There are false saviors. There are people telling you what you want to hear. Does not Donald Trump fit that analogy perfectly?
Exactly.
He knew exactly what to tell us to get the people that care and have some morality left and some conscience left. He knew exactly what to tell us.
And we
followed him hook, line, and sinker because, A, we don't want to get off our asses. We don't want to get out of our homes. We don't want to get out from in front of our images of the beast because they entertain us. We don't want to have to do anything. And so we supported the idea that another person will do our job for us. I'm telling you, Gary, the work belongs to us. We, his sons and daughters, have to fix this problem. We were put here to fix this problem. Donald Trump wasn't. He's part of the man-made system that's enslaving the entire world. So I don't care what Donald does or does not do. Nothing out of Washington, D.C. will fix this problem. Nothing out of the Pentagon is going to fix this problem. Nothing in the other capitals of the world is going to fix this problem. They have all been compromised. We are the ones, you and I, his sons and daughters, that were given that job. And
yeah.
As soon The sooner we come to that conclusion and start working on a solution that we create, that we are the leaders of, then you're going to see things get fixed.
Well, you know, Pastor, the thing that really struck me when you were speaking a while ago was the idea that we have all kinds of guys in identity, and a lot of them appear to be leaders, but they can't get together. They always got to argue over something. You know, it's one thing. I listened to Pastor Eli today, and he was talking about, he was with Steve, we have, you know, each of us have differences of opinions on things, but we do have the same opinion on one thing, and that's what we have to get together on, and that's what you're just now saying is the same exact thing. It doesn't make any difference how you might believe on one little thing that's different or one little thing over here. The issue is we believe on one thing. You said it when you said Iceland. Iceland is Benjamin. Benjamin is the one that we follow from a perspective. He lays the path. So we have the Benjamites. They don't have any banks. They put them in prison. And then you went to
right.
a couple others. But right now the thing that hit my mind when you said that is he is Benjamin, and Benjamin is the leader. He lays the path. So I think the path is being demonstrated by Iceland, which is Benjamin, and they're small. They're a small country. And yet they were
right.
able to do that. You know what's funny? Other countries didn't come in there with their big armies and try and overtake them. That didn't happen.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, well, remember what Thomas Paine said. It's the fear of resisting the beast that gives the beast power. The beast doesn't have the power. He wants you to think he has the power. It's in our minds, okay? It is a mind game that's going on here. The solution is for us to overcome the mental block and start working as a group. And the things that you just brought up are exactly why it has to be a monarchy, Gary. We will never, ever, 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 ever get all of us to agree on everything. Can't do it. We're constantly trying to get it to where we all agree. It is not going to happen. We can't even agree on things such as the Sabbath and when do the feasts actually start. What we can agree on is that we have a monarch who leads us. And the monarch has counselors. And the monarch's job is to take the noblemen, the elders, the counselors, into his confidence, and they instruct him and watch over him. So it's a two-way street. The monarch gets the benefit of the elders and their wisdom as they represent the people to him and tell him what he should do. The monarch then, because he walks with Yahweh, seeks the right answer through the Holy Spirit, and then he takes the advice of his noblemen to heart so that he makes the right decision for the nation, meaning the race. It might not be the right decision for an individual. It might not be the right decision for a town within the nation, but it'll be the right decision for the nation as a whole. That's the job of the monarch. That we can accomplish. That we have thousands of years of history behind us to prove that it can work. And we have the scriptures, and we have the new knowledge that's been given to us in the recent years through the identity message. We are now further than we have been in a long time. We also have history behind us, as Andrew Carrington Hitchcock in his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is very, very explicit about who the enemy is and how the enemy has done his magic to deceive us and to get us to follow his ways instead of Yahweh's ways. We have that all behind us. We can go forward and make this a new heaven and a new earth, and we can destroy the stubble, as Obadiah says, is our calling. That's our calling, to destroy the stubble. And when Israelites get pissed off and when Israelites work together, no power on this earth can stop us. That's the facts.
Well, they do say you don't want to get the white man upset, because when he gets angry, he gets angry. And all kinds of things can happen behind that. It's like that guy up in Washington, in Seattle. He punched the raghead right in the mouth. You know, it didn't bother him. And he's not the only one. There's other ones doing things like that. you know, right here in San Diego, you're not familiar with it, but there's a little city, you know, they have, you know, cities. It's El Cajon. You look up El Cajon, it's the biggest infested place of ragheads. Now, it used to be a little cowboy town. And then all of a sudden, all these ragheads moved here. And that place is a junk town now. It looks like Tijuana. It's terrible, trashy. Nobody wants to go there. It's awful. They turn a town into trash. I can imagine what them black Somalis have done up there in Dearhorn. You know, it's terrible what's going on in our land. You know, it's like going into a foreign land, Pastor. When you go into where these people are, am I in the United States? Where am I at? You know, it's terrible.
I just had family say the same thing. They went to, they had to go into Washington, D.C., and then they had to go to some, there was another major city of the United States, and they just got back, and they were telling me that they said the exact same thing. It's, where am I? What happened? What happened to white America? What happened to white Christian America? Where did it go? Because you go into the major cities, they look like Babylon, every description of Babylon. The confusion caused by admixture. Admixture means that you've allowed the unholy to be amongst the holy. Holy means separated, folks. It doesn't mean that you're pure. It doesn't mean that you don't have sin, as the modern-day prostitutes tell you in the churches. Holy means consecrated. Holy means separate. Well, we're a holy people to Yahweh. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean Gary's never stubbed his toe or said a bad word or thought a bad thought. That's bull crap. It means we're consecrated and separate. We work together as a team. And Gary, last time I checked, when I played football, when I played baseball, when I played other sports in school, there was always a captain on the team. Now, when we picked the captain for the football team, was he the best player? Not necessarily. Was he the smartest? Not necessarily. Could he do every other job on the field? Nope. Couldn't do the job on the field of some of the other guys. Was he the most educated? No, usually not. But he was our leader. On the field, he was the one who made the decisions about what we were going to do as a team. We all agreed to that.
Well, you know,
we could have our disagreement. We could have our disagreements back in the locker room, and we often did. But out on the field, in front of the other team, in this case, the Jews, the stubble, he is our monarch and makes our decisions, and we will unite to destroy the stubble. We can argue back in the classroom. We can argue back in the sanctuary about theology all night long. But out on the playing field, out in the world, he's our monarch.
He's the
leader. And we will follow his decisions.
Well, you know, Pastor, I don't know what it's like back there, but here in San Diego, well, California, the West Coast, and into Arizona, you go into a restaurant to eat. I was a cook when I first come out. You know, you learn, you be going to be a dishwasher, which is entry level, and then you work your way up the ladder and you learn how to cook. That's what I was. You know, you name it, I could have done it at the time, from flipping eggs to cooking roast beef. But today, there's no white people. Hardly do you see one in restaurant work. Hardly do you see one in cement work, brick work. They're all out there taking all the jobs so that we, you know, our children, we got to be college educated. Why? Because you see, when you and I don't know you, but in my time, that's what we do. You go get an entry-level job and work your way up the ladder. Today, these guys are crying because they can't raise their family on working at 7-Eleven. Well, 7-Eleven is an entry-level job or a spare job, you know, for the wife or yourself. It's not meant to be to raise your family and buy a house and all that. Things are sort of stupid out there today. You know, I can't.
Here again, Gary, we sit around and we bitch and we moan about the problems. The solution's in our hands. We just refuse to get off our asses and do it. That's all.
Well,
bottom line, the white race can fix the problems. Even the black preacher in Harlem, James David Manning, PhD, tells his congregations that this country is doomed if the white race does not stand up and take control of their country back. That's a black preacher in Harlem with a radio outreach that goes across the entire United States. I say that Pastor Manning is correct.
Yeah, he is.
If the white race does not rise up and take control of our white nations again and establish our sovereignty and the fact that it is our nation, it doesn't belong to anybody else, and we will remove from political power everybody who is not of us. That means of our DNA and our faith. If you're not of our DNA and you don't believe Yahweh to be our King of Kings, then get the hell out of the way.
There you go. Anyway, Pastor, I remember I used to work at this one. It's called Vacation Village. It's a real nice place, and I was a cook in there. And what happened is they hired a new chef, and this new chef was Mexican. So what he did, I was a white guy. I think I was the only white guy in there. He fired me, and I asked him why. He says, because I'm going to replace you with a guy that works cheaper. And he replaced me with a Mexican. So I have seen that. And then another thing I've noticed when you were saying things is in Chicago, we got all these blacks running around shooting each other. To me, that's okay, but they want to – well, they're having a problem in Chicago because there's too much stuff going on that's not of the white people. They don't use the
–
yes.
Would you like Detroit and Chicago fixed?
Well, I imagine Eli would, Pastor Eli.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I could fix Chicago, Detroit, and any other city like them. I could fix them in 7 days. Do you want to know how?
Okay.
I'm going to go in there with an army behind me. I'm going to go in there with armed white men, and I'm going to take the first 50 blacks that are committing rape, murder, or kidnapping, and I'm going to hang them from lampposts down the main street of Detroit or Chicago, 50 of them. On day number two, I'm going to take the next 50 I catch doing it and hang them from the street lamps. By the seventh day, there will be no more crime in the cities. Guaranteed.
That sounds exciting.
That's a guarantee. When the men decide they've had enough of this bullshit, come and see me. We will fix the problem. But until you're ready to put them up on lampposts and stretch their necks for committing crimes, then don't bother me, because the crimes will continue because the Jew wants it that way. And they've made that absolutely perfectly clear in their writings. The chaos allows them to continue with their monstrosities. The answer is obvious. If you don't want the Jew to get away with what he's doing, get rid of the chaos. That's why they don't want a monarchy. That's why they don't want national sovereignty. That's why they don't want pure races, because there is unity there. So when we decide to unify, come see me, because if you want somebody to lead the pack, I'll do it. I don't care. Or I'll follow. I don't care. You just tell me who you want as monarch. But I want a monarch, and I want noblemen, which could be admirals, could be generals, could be colonels, could be high-ranking police officers. I don't care. You give me a monarch. You give me the leaders of our military, and let's go get our weapons, and let's fix the problem. We've talked about it enough. Let's go fix the problem. The first 50 criminals hung by the neck on the street lamps down the major city streets, and the problem will cease.
Well, that means that there's going to be some Jews hanging.
Amen, brother. Amen. Aren't they the stubble?
Oh, they're terrible. They're the ones leading the show.
What did Obadiah say? What did Obadiah say?
He did talk about
it. Verse 18. Obadiah said that they are to be eliminated. That's what Obadiah at verse 18 says. Edom Esau is to be no more, because they are a cancer to all of mankind.
Well, if I was that mayor of Chicago, I think I'd be getting on my horse and getting out of town, because He's an Edomite, and
he is not only a Jew, he is an Israeli soldier. His loyalties is to Israel. He is a traitor. And what does the book say about treason?
They talk all about stretching the neck.
Well, there you go. I guess that's the answer, isn't it? You want to get rid of treason in the United States? Len, let's do to treasonous persons what the book says.
What about
and what the military code of uniform military code of justice? What does it say? Traitors are to be executed.
I've talked to a lot of people, and they're very upset because this Barack Obama and what he's done. They want to know why something ain't being done with this guy. You're talking about top treason. He is it. Runs around.
Gary, when we're looking to the people who created the problem to fix the problem, that's a form of insanity. We have to stop being insane. The solution's going to come from the bottom, just as Iceland proved, just as Ithaca, New York proved, just as the nation of Spain has proven. It's going to come when you stop following man's law.
Well, that's
these
true.
People do not own us. They do not have a right to rule over us. The King of Kings, Yahweh, who came to earth as Yeshua, there's our law, there's our king, and we need an earthly king who believes the same way and is willing to follow Yeshua until Yeshua comes himself. There's the greatest solution, and that's what I pray for every single day, Gary. I pray for Yeshua to come back and take the throne and stop all of this bickering, all of this madness, all of this dishonesty and idiocy, because he isn't going to share the throne with anybody.
Well, he'll probably be the one hanging those guys on the lamppost. You know,
no, that'll be you and me doing that, but he's the one that's going to give us the marching orders.
That's it. You know, as I was listening to what you were saying there, when the President of the United States is voted in by the majority of the people, you know, a whole bunch of people, and then you have one judge here, I think it's here in San Diego or around in this area, one judge who was never elected by anybody that tells this president he can't do his constitutional duty. One judge.
Okay. Well, again, what's the solution? Scrap this whole Jewish-run system and implement the system that Yahweh gave us from the beginning.
Well,
all you got to do is look at the books of Moses and how was the Israelite country under the Israelites, how was government set up? It was the way Old England was set up. It's the way it's always worked for us. A monarchy at the top, but local government starting at families of 10. You had a chieftain. That's what it means. Chieftain. 10 families. Ton. That's where we get the word chieftain. Chieftain. He was the chief of 10 families. And then 5 chieftains would have a ruler over them. So that's a chief over 50. And then 2 of those would have a ruler over them. So that's a ruler over 100. And then 10 of them would have a ruler over them. And he's the captain of thousands. And then there's a captain of 10,000s. You got to go through 6, 7, 8 layers of government before you ever get to the monarch. So the idea that the monarch is a dictator is ludicrous. No, he's not. You're going to have government down at the bottom. The monarch is there to protect the nation from assault from within or without. That's the monarch's job.
Well, if you take the President of the United States, he's supposedly sort of like a monarch. He can't even control one judge. This one judge ties up the whole nation.
Because we're not living under God's law. This Congress and Parliament and all those man-made creations are ineffective for that reason. They have all been compromised and infiltrated. They are useless. We need to walk away from them. They've got no power over us. All right? They can take all that Jewish money and drown in the frickin' Potomac for all I care. Put all that silver in your pockets, boys, and swim out in the middle of the Potomac and see how far you make it. Put all that Jewish money in a bag and tie it around their damn neck. All right, if you can make it to the other side of the Potomac, you can keep your damn money. If you don't, well, then we'll dig your sorry ass up and spread the money out amongst the people. There you go. Every one of these traitors, take all that money that the Jews given you and convert it to silver and tie it around their neck.
That just sounds like a good idea. Well, Pastor, I'm going to sit down and listen to you for the rest of the time, and I sure appreciate the time you gave me to speak to you. I don't get to do that very often. So, Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, Gary.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Gary from San Diego, and I got on a bit of a rant. I didn't mean to do that, and I went way past the 90 minutes. But the folks on Eurofolk will just have to come back over to TalkShoe and pick up the latter part of it. If anybody emails me, I'll be glad to send them a link where they can hear the whole program as well besides TalkShoe. But I think it was a worthwhile discussion. And again, I don't mean to get in rants, but I'm pissed, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just pissed. I've 64 years walking this earth. I'm tired of all of the bitching and moaning our people do, and all of the heartache, and all of the murder, and all of the rape, and all of the abortion, and all of these things are anti-God, anti-Christ. They got the same damn people behind it, the same creatures that Christ denounced, and yet Christians run around with their heads up their asses because they don't want to admit they've been fooled. They don't think it's not right. They want to be goody-two-shoes and never be violent and all the other BS the church teaches them. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Yahweh never gave us a right to sit around and to be that way. Never. He told us that we are to be warriors. He told us to be overcomers. He told us to carry battle axes and weapons of war to implement judgment. His judgment, not ours, not mine. His judgment. And you're not doing it. We sit around, we talk about all these problems, and we think that we're going to get a group of Jews over here to fix what this group of Jews has done over there. It's called insanity. And shame on you, any of you that darken the doorstep in a mainstream church. Shame on you. And that includes the demonic Roman Catholic Church. I've said enough. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask your forgiveness if I've gotten angry and said things out of turn. That's not my purpose. But by God, we've got to change things, Father. We have sunk so low, I don't know how much lower we can get. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve you. We don't deserve to survive, Father Yahweh. How you can love us as a people is beyond my comprehension. We are despicable because we won't do what you put us here to do. Instead, we want to bitch and moan as the yoke of the enemy who has infiltrated our governments and put that yoke on our necks, and we bitch and moan about the yoke, but by God, we're not going to work together. By God, we're not going to listen to you. By God, we're not going to follow the dictates of the Bible. We're going to keep doing it the Jew way and bitch about it all the way to the salt mine and wonder why things aren't working. Please come back, Father Yahweh. Please come back soon, because this is insanity. We need a monarch, and we need to pick up our weapons. And we need to defend ourselves. And we need to bring about righteous judgment on this earth. And to that end, I ask all of this in the name of Yahweh, our King, our El Shaddai. Hallelujah.